I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
The scripture reading today is from chapter 8 of Luke, verses 26 through 39. Then they arrived at the country of Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As he stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demons into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swine herd saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. These people came out to see what had happened, and when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized and with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Thank you, Joan. Groucho Marx once famously observed he would never want to be a part of a club that would accept him as a member. As we continue our journey to understand who Jesus is, we may begin to wonder if we really want to be one of his followers. Now keep in mind, and I've asked this for 3 weeks now, imagine you know nothing, that you're actually there and you're watching this man do the things here. Imagine that you're a Jew, that you follow the Jewish law, and you're watching Jesus do the things that he does. Think of the people we have encountered who recognize and honor Jesus. A Roman centurion, a woman of questionable morals, and now a man possessed by many demons living amongst the tombs. Are these really the people with whom we want to be associated? Lord Halifax, a former Foreign Secretary of Great Britain, once shared a railway compartment with two prim-looking spinsters. A few moments before reaching his destination, the train passed through a tunnel. In the utter darkness, Halifax kissed the back of his hand noisily several times. When the train drew into the station, he rose, lifted his hat, and in a gentlemanly way said, "May I thank whichever one of you two ladies I am indebted to for the charming incident in the tunnel." He then beat a hasty retreat, leaving the two ladies glaring at each other. We know there are things in life that lead us to believe something happened or is happening that simply is not true. After seeing Jesus with a Roman centurion, a woman of questionable morals, and a man possessed by many demons, many were suspicious of him, including his own disciples. That's, again, hard for us because we know the ending. But if you didn't know the ending and you're there and you're one of these Jews, you got to be wondering who this man is that's hanging out with these questionable people. So we go on. Truth be known, there were those who thought Jesus was out of control. As for Legion, clearly the people in the country of the Gerasenes did not want to be associated with a man so possessed they could not control him. They had tried to protect him and themselves by binding him with chains, but it did no good. Possessed, he was far stronger than any help or imprisonment. Eventually, the demon, we are told, had driven him away from all people and into the land of the dead. He roamed naked among the tombs. For his family, he was probably just that, dead. We have met one of the who in our report. Now it is time for this who to meet Jesus. The author of Luke Acts tells us one day Jesus got into a boat. Let us go across to the other side of the lake. Luke 8:22. This has a rather odd, mundane tone. It does not tell us why or for what reason Jesus wanted to cross the lake. It seems like a whim or a lark. Unfortunately, it was during this outing they encountered the windstorm that nearly cost them all their lives. When Jesus calmed the storm and saved all their lives, the disciples were shocked and wondered, who then is this that he commands even the winds and water and they obey him? It's in Luke 8:25. Even they're wondering. The disciples still were not sure who this man was. Yet quickly they meet someone, or rather some things, who knows exactly who Jesus is. Jesus and the disciples have finally arrived at the other side of the lake. And as an aside, we need to remember this lake is not what most of us think of when we picture a lake. The Lake of Genezareth, or the Sea of Galilee, is 8 miles wide and 13 miles long. As the disciples were no doubt calming their nerves after their brush with death, they meet the man given up for dead. The naked, wild man falls at the feet of Jesus, screaming, "What have you to do with me, Son of the Most High God?" He knows him. And the disciples are still wondering who he is. The man is not asking for help. He is not asking for healing. He is asking Jesus to leave him alone. This same plea occurs later in the story as well. This man, and later the people of the region, recognize what the writer of the letter to the Hebrews declared. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It is a story of the unclean. The tombs are unclean. Pigs are unclean. And we are told it was an unclean spirit. This unclean spirit knew who Jesus was and was rightfully afraid. As soon as Jesus saw the man, he knew the man was possessed and without the man asking, had ordered the spirit to come out. The man didn't ask for that. Jesus just did it. But how unusual it is that the spirit negotiates with Jesus. I cannot think of any other demons that were able to bargain with God. Yet these did. What's more, they succeed. Or do they? If they can no longer inhabit this poor man whom they have made unclean, might they inhabit unclean pigs? Why, of course, Jesus agrees. Perhaps this causes an unclean overload, and the demon-filled pigs rush into the lake. The pigs drown, and the spirits find themselves just where they hoped they would not go. the abyss, the bottomless pit where they join the fallen angels and spirits kept in eternal chains in deepest darkness for the judgment of the great day. It's a quote from Jude, 1st chapter, 6th verse. Have you ever believed something only to find out that it wasn't true? Has someone ever gossiped? You ever known anyone like that? And they tell you something and later you check it out and you go, wait, that was way off. Not only the demons in Legion, but the disciples themselves fell victim to old wives' tales, tales from their own faith. Here's some old wives' tales that we have today. If you go outside with wet hair, you'll catch a cold. Cold weather, wet hair, and chills don't cause colds. Viruses do. Reading in dim light will damage your eyes. Although reading in a dimly lit room won't do any harm, good lighting can help prevent eye fatigue and make reading easier. Here's one I like. I was told this as a kid. Cracking knuckles causes arthritis. Habitual knuckle cracking tends to cause hand swelling and decreased grip strength, but does not cause arthritis. Feed a fever, starve a cold. Heard that one. Both high fevers and colds can cause fluid loss. So you would think you should drink plenty of liquids and eat regular meals. Missing nutrients may only make a person sicker. This is one my mother used to say. Wait an hour after eating before swimming. The Red Cross says it's usually not necessary for you or your child to wait an hour before going in the water. Chocolate causes acne. Studies show that no specific food has been proven to cause acne. And last but not least, and I've heard this one, eating carrots will improve your eyesight. While carrots help maintain healthy eyesight, they don't improve vision. Sometimes we are raised to believe something only later to find out it's not true. That's what happened to the Apostle Peter. From birth, good Jewish boys and girls were taught that the Gentiles, or everybody that wasn't Jewish, was unclean. Jews referred to non-Jews as Gentile dogs. They wouldn't sit down to eat with them and were prohibited from even entering a Gentile home. If a Jew touched a Gentile, even accidentally, he would have to go home and wash to become ritually pure. And if they had to buy something from a Gentile merchant, that item had to be washed before it was used, even if it was furniture. Now, in the early church, the followers of Jesus were Jews who believed the Messiah had come. So they practiced the Jewish faith and all of its traditions, avoiding things like the unclean foods and even Gentiles. Now, however, God intended to change all of that. Legion has been released from the chains of possession and the deep darkness that clouded his mind. Like the woman at Simon's house, he is still at the feet of Jesus, but now dressed and in his right mind. Yet the crowd that has gathered, having heard the stories about the amazing things taking place among the tombs and at the lakeshore, does not rejoice. Rather, they are afraid and, like the man and the demons, beg Jesus to leave them alone. At that, Jesus comes and heals. Jesus saves. Jesus helps. And they say, get away from me. I'm scared. Do we do that? You're here to help? You probably ought to leave. Who is this man who returns a man to his right mind? Who is this man who commands demons? The author of Luke Acts gives us a very clear statement at the end of the tale. When Jesus gets into the boat to return across the lake, the man asks to be with him, which is a way of saying the man wishes to become a follower of Jesus. But Jesus tells the man to go home. Just as Jesus gave the widow back her son, Jesus is giving the man's family back their son. The dead will be given new life. And Jesus tells the man to declare how much God has done for you. That is what the man does. But his message is somewhat different. He went away proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. Who is this? The man is telling us Jesus is no less than God himself. Jesus says, go tell him what God's done for you. The man goes and tells him what Jesus has done for him. While many in our world continue to believe in the possibility of demon possession, many more today feel possessed and powerless before addictions and mental illnesses. And sending Jesus away, asking Jesus to leave us alone, leaves us susceptible to the addictions and illnesses of this world. Many of the Jews sent Jesus away. At times, even his disciples wanted to get away from him. Why? Because while Jews, like the Sadducees, Pharisees, and scribes, were busy building walls between them and the unclean Gentiles, Jesus knocked those walls down. How dare him? That's what they were thinking. Here this man comes and he's with a man possessed by demons. We don't do that. We run. Oh, wait. There was a woman who was sinful. And he was actually with her, allowing her to wash his feet and dry them. Get away, Jesus. Get away. Don't hang out with sinners. Jesus is helping the very people that we as Christians say we should be helping. But at that time, no, don't do that. You can't be a prophet. You can't be the Son of God. You can't be anyone of any stature if you're helping people that we don't like. That we don't like. That we've grown up believing are bad. When we see a person who is addicted, whether it be to drugs, alcohol, whatever that may be, when we see a person who has committed many sins, do we run or do we help? Do we see them as unclean or as people that need our help? Solution of the Jews, the Sanhedrin, killing. And they did. They killed Jesus. Why? Because he helped people. And today, many ask those ancient leaders, how's that working for you? If you notice, there's churches all around the world. You killed him. But it didn't stop the truth. It's hard to love your neighbor when you build walls of hatred. And when we grow up believing that a certain group or certain people are bad, we tend not to help them. And we tend to look down on those who do. But Jesus helped. There's absolutely no getting around it when we read this story or any of the others where he has helped people who were not Jewish. Because folks, in those days, those people were unclean. And so people said, nope, not the Son of God. Look who you hang out with. So we don't believe. What I ask you today is, believe. God helps everyone because they're all God's children. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we know that you've put us in a world where there is much going on that we may not like, we may not be comfortable with, but they're your children. Give us the insight and the wisdom to see how we can help them, not run from them, serve them, and be as your Son has asked us to be, followers of his. For we ask this in his holy name. Amen. We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week
as God's word is brought to you.